Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
So today we celebrate our Jubilee, our 50th year. At the start of this service, it marked exactly 50 years as those charter members gathered in this place on September 17th, 1967. And the Bible talks about Jubilee. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 12, it says this: "You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of the Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth, or the harvest, or the unpruned vines. For it is a jubilee. It should be holy to you. You shall only eat what the field itself produces." The word of the Lord. So the idea of jubilee was something that was really unheard of. In the ancient world, and even today, the idea of jubilee sounds ridiculous. The jubilee marked the 50th year. It marked a new beginning. It marked something brand new to come. It was a year where debts were repaid. Property was returned. Everything was set back to zero. If I had borrowed land from Dan, it would be 50 years later that I would return it back to him. If Tommy and Mona owed me money, after 50 years it would be gone. It would no longer matter. It was this idea that during the 50th year, things were set back to right. No matter what had happened in the 49 years previously, we were starting back from zero. And this is insane. Nobody would do this today. it doesn't make sense to sell something and then expect it back during the year of Jubilee. And honestly, throughout history, we have no actual proof of this happening, even during the time of the ancient Israelites. This was what they were commanded to do. But if they were anything like me as a little child, I could be told to do one thing and that didn't mean I would actually do it. But this is what they were told they were supposed to do. And although we have no record of this actually happening in the way that it was said to, it still matters. It's still important for us. It's still something for us to think about. This idea of Jubilee, although we celebrate it as the 50th year, the year of Jubilee took on a new form. It took on a new way of being. This new way still called us to forgive and to make right. It still called us to cancel our debts of others. We were talking at Bible study on Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I think this is where we're having this conversation, about when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, "Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors," and how I prefer the translation, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And some prefer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us." And I forget who said it here, but somebody told me, and it may have been Paul, because Paul is a man of wisdom. What was said to me was, it's a lot easier to forgive somebody for trespassing against me than if they owe me money. But this new way of Jubilee, this is what it calls us to. debts are wiped out. Forgiveness is given freely. We see the servant who owed a lifetime's worth of money, more money than I can imagine right now. And his master said, I forgive you. You don't owe me anything. We see this new way of jubilee coming about. This new way that calls us to look back at where we were, but it also calls us to look forward to where we're going. This new way changes the idea of jubilee from being once every 50 years to always. There's a Christian singer named Michael Card who describes jubilee in this way. The word provided for a time for the slaves to be set free, for the debts to all be canceled, so his chosen one could see his deep desire was for forgiveness. He longed to see their liberty, and his yearning was embodied in the year of jubilee. 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 Jesus is that jubilee. Debts forgiven, slaves set free. Jesus is our jubilee. At the Lord's appointed time, his deep desire to give a man, the heart of all true jubilation, and with joy we understand. In his voice we hear a trumpet sound that tells us we are free. He is the incarnation of the year of jubilee. Our new jubilee is Jesus. This idea of jubilee where one could find joy, where debts could be forgiven and family could come back together, Jesus is where we find this. Jesus is where we find this joy, this freedom. It's in Jesus that we find this chaotic world being put back to right. One of the things that's important for us is to remember that it is God that is doing all this. This year of Jubilee no longer needs to be an idea of something we do every 50 years, but rather through the grace and mercy of God, this year of Jubilee is now an everyday occurrence. This Jubilee is found in Christ and it's found in his church. This year of Jubilee, this purposeful celebration calls us to remember where we have been and where God has been. We watched earlier, before service started, of some of the slideshows, and just looking back and seeing some of the places that the church has been and what our church has gone through, and hearing stories about what this church has been like over the last 50 years. It's important for us to look back, to remember not only where we have been, but where God has been throughout it all. Because we've been faithful, I fully believe that of this church. But even more than that, I believe that God has been faithful to this church as well. Amen. There is an ancient practice that the Israelites had. They would build altars in the places in which they saw God move. Now, if the guys can put it on screen, I don't know if you can tell, but there's a couple of rocks that are stacked up. If you go down to the Portland headlight, you'll see it all the time. People take rocks and they stack them. And I don't know what the point of it is today. But biblically, and during the time of the ancient Israelites, they would do this and they would make an altar out of them. You would see these stones piled, and it would serve as a place where people could walk by and be like, oh, God must have done something here. Somebody had an experience with God here, for that is an altar of God. They did that by just taking rocks, and they didn't cut them, they didn't mold them, they didn't do anything, they just stacked them on top of one another to say, this is the place where God has been. God has done a good work here. In many traditions in Christendom, our brothers and sisters, instead of calling this a Eucharistic table, they'll call it an altar. It's the place in which God has moved. It's the place in which God has done a great thing. Through the body and blood of Christ, God has done something amazing. And so we call it an altar to remember what God has done in this place and what God is going to continue to do at his table. The altars, in many ways, marked a place of jubilee. Just as our table today marks a place of jubilee, joy is found when we come around this table because we receive the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ and we are invited to feast with him, and we get just a small taste of what it will be like when heaven and earth meets. There's another illustration that I want to use that I hope will keep with us. You may or may not have noticed that there is a stick right over there. It's not the greatest stick, but I couldn't find one, and I didn't want to pay for one. So I found one out in the woods yesterday, and then I cut off some of the twigs on it, and I brushed off the bugs, so hopefully there's none left. So here's this stick, or let's call it a staff, because that sounds more professional. So here's this staff. There was a practice that the ancient Israelites would do that I just think is absolutely fantastic. And I hope my mom's not watching because my mom will yell at me later for this, but that's okay. So there were times when the ancient Israelites would wonder, where is God? Is God even doing anything? There'd be times where they would wonder, where is God? And then they would look at their staff. Now you see, they had a practice with their staff, and this is the part that my mom's going to yell at me for. So I brought a small pocket knife to church, which I know I'm in Maine when I feel comfortable bringing a knife to church. It's a completely new experience for me. I'm actually going to put this down so I don't drop it yet. But they would look at their staff, and they would remember that God had been with them. Because what they would do is they would take their knives, they would take what they had, and whenever they would see God move, they would just carve a little notch in it. And over time, there would be more and more notches. So I can think of how last year when I came, I preached at our homecoming last year as part of my interview and getting to know you and you getting to know me. And I talked about part of my story and how I'd been to the depths and how God had saved me from the depths and how he picked me up. And so I could do that and I could take it and I could just carve a little notch there. And over time, the Israelites, they would carve more and more. They could say, God has been faithful to the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We've been here for 50 years and God has not left us. So they would carve little notches, and over time their staff would be completely carved up. And they could say, where has God been? And they could look at it and say, oh yeah, God has been right here with us. And God will continue to be right here with us. Now, those of you that know me well know that I'm pretty sacramental. I think that physical objects can tell us a great deal about God and can tell us a great deal about life. And so I use this as a reminder. It's a way for me to look and to see, yeah, God has been there. God has been with us. We carve a notch to remember what God has been doing and to reflect on it. And also for times when, even if I don't have something to carve right now, I can look to see that other people have been carving in it, that other people have been able to see where God has been moving. It's a walking stick of faithfulness. It's a physical reminder of where God has been. As we begin to think of how we will go forward as the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene, and how we will think of how we will continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ here in our local communities, as we think of what we will do for the next 50 years, I invite us to do a twofold act. I invite us to, one, to look forward, but I also invite us to look backwards. Continue to look to see where God is leading us. What doors are God opening? What ways are God calling us to step into? But it has been said by many that the way to the future is through the past. That we have to remember where we've been. We have to remember the ways that God has moved. So as we continue onwards, as we extend this year of Jubilee, this continual time of Jubilee, I invite us to reflect on why we continue to move forward. I invite us to continue to reflect on the journey that is continuing on ahead of us. And so I invite you to respond in two ways. First, we will recite our beliefs together. It's important for us to remember who we are and what we believe. It's important for us to remember who God is and what God has done. So in a moment, we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. And the second thing that I invite you to do is I invite you during our prayer course, if you would like, I'll put the staff down by the altar and I'll put the knife by it as well. And during our time of our prayer course, if you would like to reflect on something God's done, to feel free to carve a notch for our church to remember God has been moving here. God has done something in your life. It's a way for us all to see that God has been faithful. And I'll leave this out here so that any time you see God moving throughout your weeks, whenever God has worked a miracle in your life, you can come up and say publicly and as a physical reminder, God has done something. Let's not forget about it. So I will put this over here. And then in a minute, I will invite us to recite what we believe together. So if you would join me in reciting what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.